what's going on, church? We're so excited. We are in week number 3 of a series we're calling Faith Over Feelings. And today, I want to talk to you about how you think and what it does and how we can change the way that we feel by changing the way that we think. The Word of God has a lot to say about how we think and what we where we place our focus. But this morning, I want to go ahead and I want to pray, and then I want us to jump right into our time today. So let's pray together. Would you bow your heads? God, thank you so much for today. Thank you for what you're doing at Active Church, through Active Church. Thank you for this technology to be doing church online during this season. We pray, Lord, for continued progress over this whole COVID-19. God, we pray that you would continue to eradicate and help us to move life forward in our country and abroad. We thank you in advance. Speak to us now through your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you guys have ever had a case of the shoulda, coulda, wouldas? You know what I'm talking about? Like, you're like, I wish I would have. I remember being in middle school. You know, you're like with your friends and like you're all kind of roasting each other. And then someone says something to you and you're like, yeah, whatever, your mom. And then you kind of walk away. And then like an hour later, you think of like a comeback that would have been great. You're like, I should have said that. Like, I should have said something better. You know, we kind of have these shoulda, coulda, wouldas. Maybe you can relate. Or maybe you have some situations in your life where you look back where you miss an opportunity, where you wish you could have gone back and invested in that stock. You could have sold while the market was up here. You could have bought when the market was down here. Maybe you look back and you're like, man, I wish I would have. I wish I could have. But the reality is, a lot of us can live in that place a little too long. And we're in a series called Faith Over Feelings. And what we're talking about is we're not saying that feelings are bad. Feelings are actually good. There's a lot of good in feelings. There's nothing wrong with being a person that has emotions. That's how God wired us. And how many of you guys, you like feeling good? Like, you like the good vibes? You like waking up and when it's a good day? It's like, there's nothing wrong with that. But as we've been seeing for the last couple weeks, we've been saying this phrase that we have to begin to defeat the feelings that are trying to defeat us. And Josh did a great job in week 2. And then last week we heard from 5 mom communicators. How good. Can we just give a round of applause for our 5 mom communicators? They did such a great job as we took a little break from our series. But this week we're going back into talking about faith over feelings. What we're really saying is this: trusting God over trusting our feelings. Because how many of you know your feelings change based off of how much sleep you got last night? Based off of someone, if someone said something to you that you didn't like, or if they did something you didn't like, your feelings can change as fast as just a simple comment on Facebook. You might get a friend request from an old friend from high school, and you click yes, and oh my God, they do not see the world the same way you do. And every time you post something political or you like something, they're there to combat you with the polar opposite viewpoint. How many of you guys don't amen that? Or you can amen that if you like. But we know we live in a world where our feelings sometimes can dictate our decisions. And I just believe from the Word of God that we need to be people of faith. That we have to stop leaning in and trusting our feelings. Because how many of you know, you cannot trust your feelings. As I said a few weeks ago, if your feelings were a person, you wouldn't trust that person very far. You wouldn't trust them to watch your cat. And if you're a cat person, I'll pray for you. More of a dog guy myself. But if I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this idea of our feelings. And the first point I want to make is this. If you have been feeling a certain way, maybe your feelings have been a little negative during this last, I don't know, 5 or 6 weeks or so. And maybe you're like me and you're some days you're great, and the other days you're like, let's just get this, let's just reopen this place. Come on, guys. You're kind of in that, you know, some days you're like, hey, I'm okay. I'll wear my mask and I'll follow the rules. And then the next day you're like, this is lame. I want to get back to life as normal. Wherever you're at, maybe your feelings have been informing your decisions, and maybe your thoughts haven't been where you would want them to be. And I want to talk to you a little bit today about how to change your thoughts. Here's my first point. If you want to change how you feel, take notes, write this down. change the way that you think. Now, this is something that I honestly could say for the first 25 years of my life, I didn't really think about this too much. I would get into a thought pattern of like, I'm very impulsive, so I'm like a 7 on the Enneagram. I like to go into things like I'm ready, fire, aim kind of guy. My wife, Stacy, on the other side, she's completely thought through. She's got a calendar for everything. Her Excel spreadsheets on her computer are like perfectly organized. If you look at my desktop, you know, it's just kind of all over. But anyways, I really feel like for the first 25 years of my life, I didn't really think about what was going on in my brain a whole lot. I was just running and gunning. And here's what I realized. And you probably realize this too, because you're smart people. If my thoughts change the way I feel, and if I begin feeling a certain way that I don't like, I've begun to take mental audits. I take a mental audit to see what I'm thinking about at that very moment. You ever try this? Like, when you start feeling a certain way, anxious, scared, critical. How many of you guys get a critical spirit when you're hungry a little bit? You've been stuck inside with the kids. Maybe you've been stuck inside with your roommates, and they keep doing that thing. You're like, why do you breathe like that? And they're like, what? You're like, never mind. You ever wonder, like, what am I feeling in this moment? If you don't like the way that you feel in a certain moment, I want to challenge you. Take a mental audit. What am I thinking about right now? Because if I want to change the way I feel and my thoughts begin to dictate what my emotions are telling me to do, then I need to do something. If I want to change the way I feel, then I begin, by faith, I begin to change my thoughts. The Bible says to take every thought captive. The Bible also says it to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So what does that mean? It means this. If I want to change the way that I feel, I have to start with what I'm thinking about. Maybe your thoughts have not been where they need to be. Maybe your feelings are all over the place. I would ask you, have you anchored your thoughts in truth? Have you anchored your thoughts in what the Bible says about who you are? Have you anchored your thoughts about what the Bible says about us and His people? Have you anchored your thoughts in who God is, not in how you feel? Here's some crazy statistics. They say that you have about 50 to 70,000 thoughts every single day, most experts believe. The stats are crazy, though. Here's why. They say that about 70% of that inner dialogue that you're having, about 70% of those thoughts are negative. Are 70% of those thoughts are, dang, I should have done better. Why did I say that? Oh, that was stupid. Oh, man, I wish I would have done this. How come I didn't? 77 out of 10 of your thoughts, most experts believe, are negative in connotation. It's the should-haves. Oh, I should have remembered their birthday. Oh, I should have done that. Oh, you're lazy. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. If you were to take your thoughts and read them out loud so other people could think, hear them, they would be like, they would listen to you and go, what are you talking about? That is so not true. That's not who you are. And you would probably agree with it. But the reality is we are our most difficult critic that we'll ever face. And God has something to say about that. Now, 2 Corinthians, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. Paul has been correcting the church. He's been reminding the church about who they are in Christ. Paul is writing these letters to the church at Corinth because Corinth, believe it or not, was like the Las Vegas of the old world. It was a port city. It was the almost like a central commerce place. There was trade. There was commerce. There was all sorts of stuff happening in Corinth. And Paul is like writing to these Christians that are now believing in Jesus. They were Gentiles that have become followers of Jesus. And he's writing to them. And in chapter 10 of verse 5 of chapter 10 in 2 Corinthians, this is what he says about the people's thoughts. He says, we, as followers of Jesus, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, every single thing that opposes what God is and who He is and what He stands for in our lives, we demolish those arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against God. And what we do is we take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. So this isn't an act of futility. This is not us trying to be fakers and go, well, I guess everything's going to be okay because God's in control. No, no, no. This is us saying, hey, that thought is in my mind right now, but I, instead of letting it inform and everything I do and let it run wild, I'm actually going to capture that thought. I'm going to take it. I'm going to look at it and go, this doesn't belong in my mind. I'm taking it captive, and I'm making it obedient to who Christ is and what he already says about me. So, for example, you're going to wake up and you're going to feel like lazy one day. You're not going to want to go to the gym. You're not going to want to go for a run. You're not going to want to go on that bike ride, that walk. You don't always feel like doing things that you should do. You don't always feel like paying your bills. There's times where I don't feel like paying my mortgage. I'm like, man, I don't want to give this money away. But I know if I didn't do these things, it would not be good, right? So here's what you do. When you have arguments that come in your mind, things like saying that the challenge who you are, that you're not loved, that you're not good enough, that you're not this enough, whatever that is, you need to look at that thought, you need to take it captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now, here's as people that are faith, that are people of faith, if you believe in Jesus and you press into God, you believe that God is working in your life, as people who live by faith, we don't feel our way into an action. We act our way into a feeling. What are you saying? We don't feel our way into action. I don't feel like worshiping today. I don't feel like reading my Bible today. You guys, listen, do you realize if you wait for your feelings to catch up, you'll never do anything for God? We don't, listen, as an act of faith, we step into it. We don't worship. We're not happy because, you know, we don't sing because we're happy. We don't sing, oh, I'm happy today, so I'm going to worship God. No, we're happy because we sing. It's like I'm going to believe that God is, I'm going to meet God where he is, and then I'm going to do what I know I ought to do. And what when I begin to act in faith, all of a sudden my emotion, that emotion that I don't feel, all of a sudden because I've been taking steps towards God, all of a sudden it catches up. I'm like, oh, wow, I actually stepped my way into that by acting my way into that feeling. I proceeded with faith, and the feeling came later. We don't just worship after the victory. We worship on the way, in the battle. When the fiery arrows are coming at your life and your marriage, in your relationships, and you feel it, and you know what? There's days where you're not going to want to get up and go to church. Some of you guys barely made it to church online, and you're in your bed. I'm glad you're here. I'm so stoked that you're here. But some of us feel like, I don't feel like God is real right now. I don't feel like I can sense God, so therefore I'm just going to step back and I'm going to peel away. Listen, we worship on the way. In the battle, we don't fake it until we make it. We faith it until we make it. And I would say one step further, we faith it till we become it. We don't just faith it till we make it. We faith it until we become what we've set out to do, because our God doesn't want us to be driven by emotions and feelings. He wants us to be rooted and grounded in our faith. Now, we can feel anxious, but we can proclaim the peace of God in our life. We can say, I feel anxious, but God, I know that you're with me and you'll never leave me or forsake me. We walk by faith. We live by faith. That's what the whole Christian journey is. It's a faith journey. Now, some might be saying right now, oh, that's just faking it, Pastor. You're faking it. No, we're acting in agreement with what God already says about us. That's what faith is. I don't feel it. I don't see it. But gosh, I'm going to press in because I know God's still there. I'm going to believe that God's going to give me. I feel like I'm wrestling with anxiety today, maybe you might say. I feel like I'm not where I need to be. Listen, when you start feeling that way and your mind takes you that way, don't just follow your feelings and go, well, I guess I don't want to be fake, so I'm just going to go down this path. That is the worst thing you could possibly do. No, how would you like it if he, as your pastor, came up here and was like, hey, guys, I don't really feel like preaching today. This is kind of lame. I don't like this whole COVID-19 either. I don't want to be fake. There's days, I'm telling you, there's been days in this church, in the church plant journey, man, where I just didn't know. I was like, man, I don't feel like preaching this weekend. I don't feel like getting up there this weekend. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I have what it takes. You know what? Oftentimes, it's in those moments where I press through my feelings and I get up here and I feel like, I don't know if I have this word. I don't know if it's going to be a good message. And I get up and I say, God, I can't do this, but God, you can do this through me. I'll get up and I'll run on. If you ever see me run onto platform, it's because I got an extra pep in my step. You think, wow, he's really energetic today. You know what I'm doing? I'm faithing it. The days that I run on here and I'm pumped, it's usually because I'm fighting some sort of discouragement. I have to faith it that day. And it's those days where I get up and all of a sudden, I'm not coming up here going, oh, I don't feel like it. I'm believing God. I'm activating my faith. I'm believing God for who he is, not for how I feel. And guess what? It's usually on those Sundays that, man, God does something extraordinary. And I can go, wow, God, that was all you. And people come up and might say, great sermon, Pastor Adam. I'm like, praise God, because that was him, not me. Some of you today, you're sitting at home and you feel like you can't go on. You feel like you don't deserve God's love. I'm here to tell you, get back up again. Say, God, I'm wanting to press into you, God, because I need you today and I believe that you want to use me. I believe, yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I said that. Yeah, I shoulda, coulda, woulda, but today I'm living by faith. Can I get an amen? Life is a gift from God. You got to get this. But what you do with it is your gift back to him. Yeah, life is a gift from God. But what you do with your life is your gift back to him. Get up today and say, you know what? I'm going to change the way I think. I'm going to change the way I live. And I'm going to activate my faith. I'm pressing in. I'm pushing through. And I'm developing. Faith is like a muscle. You got to work it out. Today, work out your faith. Today, do some lifting with your faith. Don't just go in the garage and squat it out. I want you to get some faith muscle going and believe God's working in your life. To change the way you feel, number two, you got to change the environment. If you feel like your life isn't where it wants to be, maybe, just maybe, you got to change your environment. In the early 1970s, I read this in a book last year. In the early 1970s, we saw this huge wave after the Vietnam War was ending. There were so many soldiers, U.S. soldiers, of our soldiers, they were addicted to heroin. And so the U.S. government noticed this, that all these Vietnam vets were coming back just completely addicted, and they knew that they had been addicted in Vietnam to heroin. And most scholars, most scientists, and most sociologists at this time believed, man, once you're addicted to heroin, it is, and we know this is a very addictive drug, but they thought it was kind of like, man, it's your fate has been sealed. So the government started doing putting money and dollars in investing in how we can help our soldiers get off of this drug when they came back. And what they found was really incredible. They found out that about only 5% of the soldiers that were addicted to heroin in Vietnam, only about 5% remained. So they had about a 95% success rate in recovery. Why is that? They attributed the success rate to a change in environment. See, the soldiers were used to being doing the drug around. They knew where they could get it. They knew where they would hang out with other guys who were doing heroin in Vietnam. They all hung out together. So when they were in Vietnam, they would do it together. But when you brought them back to the States, change of environment, change of habit. Change of habit led to change of thinking. Change of thinking led to change of doing, and they ended up being completely sober. Wow. Maybe, just maybe, your life right now, if you think about your habits and your hang-ups, what is it that God's saying today that he wants you to change? What environment do you need to maybe avoid in this season? For some of you, it's your news app. You are stuck to the TV. You are stuck to your device. You refresh Fox News or MSNBC or whatever your poison is. You refresh that thing every 2 seconds. You got the alerts. How many of you guys got the alerts going off on your phone every 2 seconds? I turn those suckers off, man, because I was getting glued to that stuff too. So what am I saying? Am I prescribing that you just be ignorant? No. What am I saying? I'm saying is there an environment in your life right now that's causing you to think and feel a certain way? If it is, I think God might be saying, change up your environment. Switch it up a little bit. Maybe you go, instead of going and having a cup of coffee on your couch and doing your devotion, maybe this week, get up early and go for a walk, go for a hike, go out, change your environment if you want to change the way you feel. Maybe some of you guys, you've been glued to Netflix. A little guilty. It's okay. I'm not trying to shame anybody. This is me too. But maybe instead of your evening routine going, hey, let's all watch Netflix, maybe it's, hey, let's break out the board game. Let's do a puzzle. I don't know what it is for you, but maybe the environment or what you're doing needs to change. And when you change the environment, you'll be able to change your feeling. And your feelings, obviously, guys, listen, your feelings change every single day. So why not make your life a little different and start changing the environment? Watch how that changes your faith. Now, if we want to change the way we feel, next point is this. Switch what you say. Ooh, aren't words powerful? The way you say something even is powerful. Hey, babe, make me a sandwich. That would be a fight in my house. But hey, babe, make me a sandwich? Like, just the tone. Like, what you say, how you say it is so important. And just listen to me real quick, and you might be thinking, this is semantics. Where does the Bible fall into this? I'll show it to you in Scripture. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Here's what the Word of God says. The author of Hebrews writes this. He's quoting Old Testament Scripture. He says, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Because God said that, the author of Hebrews says, because God says that, never will I leave you, forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? What is he saying? Because God said, we say. Because God said, we say. So we say. So because God said it, we say it. Because God said this, we say this. The Lord is my helper. What are we doing? We're not putting our confidence in what we say. We're putting in our confidence in what he said. So what God said, that's what we're going to say. So when I know what God says, and here's my challenge to you. When you know what God says, why don't you change your words to match what he says? Like when we know what God says about you and I in Scripture, that we're fearfully and wonderfully made, that we're precious in his sight, that God has created us to know him. He's created us for good works. Why do we then turn around and disqualify ourselves with what we say? Why not switch our words to say what God already says about us? Is this faking it? No. It's faithing it. It's putting faith over your feelings. Because some days you are going to feel like this is not true about you. Just wait. Maybe you're on fire for Christ. You're like, dude, I don't even know what this guy's talking about. I'm here to tell you there's days you're going to wake up. If you have the best marriage in the world, there's days where you wake up and you go, I don't feel like doing nothing for you, even though you love. And there's days where your spouse is going to go, I love you, but I don't feel like doing anything with you. Because feelings change. Faith is something that we can anchor to. Faith in Christ. We can say, you know what, God, I'm going to switch what I say. Because you said, we say. Is that making sense to you guys? Can I get a, just let me know if that speaks to you in the comment section, all right? Also, by the way, our comment section, we're going to be posting our online campus moderator is going to be posting certain things, and we'll be pinning our connect card. If you want to stay connected with us, if you want to pray, have a praise report or a prayer request, we want to connect with you. So click on that little comment section and make sure you're interacting. It keeps it fun and engaging for everybody. All right. Back to our regularly scheduled broadcast. All right. So switch what you say. Stop affirming the wrong things in your life. How many of you know this is true? Don't affirm the things that are not true in your life. For example, there's a right time to share with counselors. Like, I'm all about it. Like, you've heard me say, I have a counselor. I think counseling is great. I think having close confidants, being in a life group is great. Sharing what's really happening. Like, we're not walking around with, being vulnerable with every single person on the street. I don't walk up to my neighbor and be like, hey, let me tell you what's going on in my marriage. I don't suggest that. Don't be that person. But have some people in your life, you know, just a couple friends where you can really take off the mask and be real. And have a counselor. If you need a counselor, I think it's great. But let me tell you something. Be careful. Listen to me. If you tuned out, tune back in. Be careful. I know too many people that walk around and they start affirming all the things that are wrong in their life. And they have friends that are like, tell me how that feels. I feel so stressed. Oh my God. Oh my gosh, me too. What else? Oh, I'm so disappointed with myself. I know, me too. And they start, what happens is you start having these affirmation fests with your friends that you're looking for counsel. And what's happening is all they're doing is they're fanning the flame of negative affirmations in your life, and they're reinforcing the wrong feeling. So instead of you feel good because you told somebody, but you have not left that relationship with your faith built, all you've done was share and affirm the wrong feeling. So can I just tell you something? The next time someone comes to you and is feeling a certain way, guess what? Feelings are not bad. They're just feelings. There's nothing wrong with having a bad feeling. Like, don't suppress your feelings. That's the worst thing you could do. Don't just try to swallow it. I used to try to do that. Like, everything's fine. Goomp. Like, that will lead you. It'll come out in another way and probably not healthy. So don't do that. But here's what you also don't do. And I'm just telling you from experience. The next time you start saying, like, I feel so stressed, man, my relationship, my roommate, man, I'm depressed. I'm so anxious. Stop making those declarations and start saying, maybe reframe it and add God's word to it. Next time, why not try to say it like this? Say, you know what? I'm feeling a lot of stress lately, or I'm feeling a lot of anxiety about the future lately because of COVID-19. And I feel this stress, and maybe it's from work, or maybe it's from my family, or just this COVID-19 situation, but I know that God is for me. And if God is for me, who could be against me? Man, I know I'm feeling stressed, but man, my God will never leave me or forsake me. Come on. I know I'm feeling stressed today, but man, I know that He is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. He leads me till still waters. I know that God is with me, even though I feel this way. I know that I'm feeling anxious, but man, I serve a God that can give me peace that surpasses understanding. Did you see how I frame that? I'm going to admit that I feel this way, but I'm going to back it up with my faith and attach the word of God to that. Some of you have to stop just declaring the negative and start being honest, but then bring the word of God and the truth of what He says about your situation to it. Don't just affirm the negative. Be honest about what you're feeling, and then take the word of God and add it to it. Watch what happens in your life. You'll start believing God for bigger. And what's going to happen is, just like you're doing workouts at the gym, I see you guys on Instagram. You guys are like, you're doing, you know, squats in the garage. You're doing medicine balls. I've seen you start working out your faith. Build your faith in this season. Watch as you get stronger. I believe God. I believe your words are important. And I believe that as you speak words of faith over your life, you'll begin to establish those feelings of faith, or excuse me, that posture of faith, not just feelings. All right. Next slide is this. Next point is this. To change the way you feel, make a move. You need to make a move. Like, you need like jujitsu this season, okay? Some of you are fighting off your back right now. You know, jujitsu is one of the martial arts where you fight off your back. It's actually one of the most amazing things about jujitsu and other martial arts is that you use your body, your opponent's body movements to counter. Just like judo, even. Judo is the art of taking someone else's momentum and turning it and using it against themselves. In jiu-jitsu, you're using the aggressor's their movement, and then you're taking and moving just so slightly so you can choke them out, you can give them an armbar. You need a judo and jiu-jitsu this season. You need to make a move and switch your, if you're feeling a certain way, you need to make a move. Now, here's what I'm saying. Your posture in life is important. I'm not just talking about your mental posture. I'm not talking about your spiritual posture. I'm talking about how you physically carry yourself. If you need to begin to stand up straight. If you walk in If you go into your class, you know, say you're, you know, when college resumes and you walk into the back of the class and you're kind of like this, or you're crossing your arms. Let me say, this is not quack science. This is real. This is proven. There's a study actually that I watched on a TED Talk. So you know it's true if it's on TED Talk. But no, literally when you cover your stomach, it raises cortisol. When you grab the back of your neck, these are the two most vulnerable places in your body, your back of your neck and your stomach. When you cover this is an act of shrinking down, making yourself small. What you're doing is your testosterone is actually, you're lowering your testosterone. This is physiologically happening in your brain, and you're actually raising your cortisol level just by the way that you're posturing. Now, what does this have to do with Scripture? The Bible says, lift your heads. The Bible says, shout unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. The Bible says, hey, sing to the Lord. Clap your hands. The Bible tells us to change our posture. Why? Is it possible that God's word has something to say about the physiological reaction that happens in your brain as you change your posture and begin to lift your eyes up to heaven and shout to the Lord a joyful noise? Is it possible that he knew before science figured it out that your posture impacts the way that you move, impacts the way that you feel, and it impacts the way that you look at your God? Is it possible? Listen, this whole TED Talk, you can look up this lady. Her name is Amy Cuddy. She did a whole TED Talk on body language. It's got 58 million views on TED Talk. Don't watch it yet. Just wait after the sermon. And she does this amazing, amazing discovery. And here's what the study came out and said. It discovered some fascinating things. Here's what it discovered. The social psychologists already knew that our body language influences how others perceive us. So when you walk into a room, and if you have like an alpha male, they're in the middle. They're taking up a lot of space. They sit in chairs, kind of spread out. Like someone that has a confident, is exuding confidence, they open up, okay? That's what we know. People that are like in, you know, you see this time someone has a question, they're kind of sitting like this, they raise their arm like this, they're making themselves small. What's happening is they found is that not only does your perception of someone, does your body language change the perception of how others view you, but here's the reality. Here's what they found out, which is fascinating to me. They said that they discovered that our nonverbals actually govern how we think and feel about ourselves. This is crazy. That what we do with our body actually determines, has an impact on what we think about ourselves. And in our minds, changes our physiological response. Cortisol levels shoot up. Stress levels shoot up, testosterone drops, in all these studies they did. And what's crazy is that the Bible already said it. The Bible already said, lift your heads up. So when we smile, it actually makes us happier. They found that even when you put a pencil in someone's mouth, like that, just the force of putting their cheekbones in the higher up creates a response in your brain that makes you feel better. This is science backing up what God's already said. What do? Are we faking it? No! Are we trying to like life hack ourselves to feel better? No! What we're doing is we're activating the faith. At Active Church, we have active faith. But guess what? You have to activate your faith today. You have to work out your faith. You have to build your faith. You have to actually put some work into having faith. Faith is like a muscle. The more you work it out, the bigger and stronger it gets. Today, activate your faith. Why don't you smile at someone right now? Try it. Just smile at somebody. Creepy. Just be real creepy. If you're driving and you're listening to this on podcast, just look at the guy next to you and just smile at him. Don't do that, actually. That's weird. just smile. Maybe you can't do it. Just smile. It does something to you. The Bible tells us, man, lift your eyes to the Lord. Why is he saying that? Posture up. Make a move. You need to take this season and maybe begin to move differently, because the study, this whole study that they did, she said that they concluded that tiny tweaks lead to big changes. Isn't it interesting that, man, social scientists in 2012 did a study that just only all it does is reinforce what the Bible already says about our nature, about our brains, about our physical bodies. Guys, lean in today. Don't wait for yourselves to feel better. Don't wait for COVID-19 the pandemic to end so start having joy. Begin to activate your faith right now and say, I'm going to have joy today no matter what's on the news. I'm going to believe God for the best no matter what's happening in my community. I'm going to stop trusting my feelings and start putting my faith over my feelings. I'm going to take a posture of victory today, like David did. Like David said, I'm going to stand up to the face of this giant, this 9-foot giant. I'm going to let my feelings take a back seat to my God. Let's participate in what God's doing this week. I love you, church. I'm so honored that we could be together this morning. And I want to encourage you today, if you're feeling weak, if you're feeling discouraged, if you're feeling like, I don't know what to do, we want to be there with you right now. But you got to ask for help. You got to be the one to say, I need prayer. We don't know unless you say something. So we need you to, if you're feeling like, I need some prayer, I need some encouragement, why not pressing in right now and click that little button, that connection card, and say, I need prayer. And let's pray together. I would love to connect with you. I would love to pray with you. I would love to be your spiritual coach right now and say, hey, we got this. We have a whole prayer team that wants to encourage you this morning. So lean in. And if you're feeling good, if this whole season doesn't have you down, why don't you be a part of that change and continue to make a difference? Let us know what you're doing. Let us know if there's a praise report. We want to hear about it. But church, let's continue to press into God in this season. Let's believe God for the best. And let's let our faith be over our feelings. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. And Lord, today, on this day, I just pray that we would not be slaves to our feelings, our emotions, our thoughts. We know they're real. We know they come into our lives. We know that our thoughts they're real thoughts, but they're not reality. So God, today, I just pray for our church. I pray that we would switch some things up. We would make a move. We'd switch what we say, that we would begin to change how we think, and we begin to speak a different word over our lives. And I pray for our church, God, that you would build their faith in this season, that you would give them a supernatural ability by the power of your Spirit to walk in faith, and to walk by faith, not by sight. And Lord, I pray for anyone here today that doesn't know you. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you, take a next step today. If you want to place your faith in Jesus today, I'm going to give you a chance to do that right where you're sitting. If you want to put your trust in Jesus and the finished work of the cross, you want to repent and have a new start. The Bible says that you have a fresh start with him, that the old is past. Behold, all things become new. You can have a new life in Christ, and you could do that today by simply repeating after me and placing your faith in Jesus. I want to lead you in a prayer. So church, would you pray with me? Say this out loud right there in your living room or wherever you're watching. Say this with me. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for raising again on the third day. Jesus, today I give my life to you. It's all yours. I love you, God. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. All right, church. Hey, thank you so much for tuning in right now. As always, we're going to give you an opportunity to continue to worship through your giving. We thank you so much for your generosity. So many people still continue to give to the work of Active Church and what we're doing here in the Central Coast. So thank you so much for your generosity. Again, remember, stay tuned in this week. We got lots of content coming out each and every week, and we'd love to connect with you. Have a great rest of your week, and God bless.